Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Great as usual.
Man, the weeks are just flying by.
Oh, it's amazing. It seems like we were just here, and then we're here again.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you'll be driving back to Youngstown and
driving
back next week.
Next week again. And
I never thought we would end up doing three shows on Acts chapter 12, but.
But here we are.
Three shows on Acts chapter 12. But it is pretty cool, actually. But, you can listen to the other two shows on giftofgraceministries.org.
Are we going to talk about your new favorite place in Youngstown?
No.
No?
No. Okay. I don't have a favorite place in Youngstown.
What? Indeed. Okay.
Let's call Pastor Dave at the church at Warren. I like going there.
Where's that located?
I think it's in, I don't think it's in Warren.
Campbell?
No, it's not in Campbell.
Cortland.
I think it's in Cortland.
Yeah, I think it is in Cortland.
I don't think it's in Warren.
Howdy, Pastor Dave, if you're listening.
We love you.
Okay. Anyway.
We did a show from his church once.
We did.
Anyway. We've been in Acts chapter 12, and last time we were talking about Peter being released by this angel from the prison. But I think maybe, Steve, you should read most of that again.
Okay. We'll go from verse 5.
Yeah.
Peter thus was being kept in prison, but prayer by the church was fervently being made to God on his behalf. In the very night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, secured by double chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while outside the door guards kept watch on the prison. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains fell from his wrist. The angel said to him, "Put on your belt and your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Put on your cloak and follow me." So he followed him, not realizing that what was happening through the angel was real. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first guard, then the second, and came to the iron gate leading out to the city, which opened for them by itself. They emerged and made their way down an alley, and suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter recovered his senses and said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people had been expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was called Mark, where there were many people gathered in prayer. When he knocked on the door, on the gateway door, a maid named Rhoda came to answer it. She was so overjoyed when she recognized Peter's voice. Instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They told her, "You are out of your mind," but she insisted that it was so. But they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued to knock, and when they opened it, they saw him and were astounded. He motioned to them with his hand to be quiet and explained to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison and said, "Report this to James and the brothers." Then he left and went to another place. At daybreak, there was no small commotion among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. Herod, after instituting a search but not finding him, ordered the guards tried and executed. Then he left Judah to spend sometimes in Caesarea.
Yeah, let's stop there for a minute. So we talked about this escape last time, but so basically this angel comes, the cell's filled with light in this darkness. Peter doesn't even wake up, and the angel has to hit him on the side to wake him up. I mean, this is a sound sleeper in the midst of danger. And we talked about this last time, and I got to go over it again, and the soldiers are either put into a deep sleep or they're somehow neutralized. They don't even react to this. The chains break. The angel gets Peter dressed. He follows the angel out. They get past the guards, and they had 16 guards inside and one guard outside. the iron gate, which goes into the city, opened on its own. So Peter was asleep when all this started. Then he thinks maybe this is a vision or a dream. But when the angel gets him outside, the angel leaves. Because now Peter can use ordinary methods to do what he has to do next.
Mm-hmm.
He can use, as my wife would say, you can use your gray matter to make the next part of the plan. And, you know, it was, it always reminds me of one of the missions we did in Mexico where there was actually a quite elderly man, and everybody, there was a bunch of young people who were just really fervent believers from California, and they would pray about everything. And we got to this really busy street, and they were praying about where we should cross the street. And this elderly man said, you know, the Lord gave us gray matter. Let's go over to the crosswalk.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a pedestrian signal there.
There you go. Yeah, sometimes we can really overcomplicate things.
So, you know, kind of like salvation, Peter's chained up in this dark place, and then a heavenly messenger comes in, floods the place with light, leads him out, not of his own doing. Nobody else did it for him. It was an angel with a specific mission from heaven to do this. There's no opposition to this escape. You know, and then the gate opening up, you know, it made me think it was kind of like the Red Sea. You know, all of a sudden you're at this barrier, and all of a sudden the barrier's gone.
Yeah.
And part of the, and what Jesus does for us is he sets prisoners free, not necessarily out of a physical prison, but certainly out of the slavery and bondage to sin that we're delivered from, not of our own doing, mm-hmm. and not any of our friends getting us out, but he comes and gets us out.
Well, yeah, it's God supernaturally delivers us from the bondage that we're in,
mm-hmm.
just like he does through his son, Jesus Christ,
yeah.
who frees us from sin by his death and resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter in this cell, I mean, he was sleeping, so he was not really afraid. He wasn't really anxious. But, you know, when you think about it, when we're living in the slavery of sin, we're all kind of asleep. You know,
yeah, we stammer around.
And supernatural light comes around us, and we say, ah, oh, that's nice, but you know, I'm doing this now. I don't have time for that
because
I got to go to work, and I want to do my fun stuff, and let's do this and let's do that. And, you know, all of a sudden, you get kind of kicked in the side. It's time to wake up.
Yeah.
I got kicked in the side, and it was time to wake up.
Yeah.
And you got kicked in the side, and it was – I'm not saying the angel kicked him, but it says he kind of hit him in the side to wake him up. I mean, this dude was sound asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets through the whole place, he realizes this was a divine deliverance. This is awesome what's happened now. And he finds his way to Mary's house. And it just so happens that there's many people, it says, that are in there praying. They've been praying fervently and constantly since Peter was arrested. Now, there's an awful lot of people around here at this time named Mary. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of those resurrection accounts are really confusing because everybody's named Mary. It sounds like Mary's sister's name, Mary.
A lot of Mary.
It's hard to follow this all through. But anyway, this Mary is, interestingly, Mark's mother, whose name was actually John Mark, but Mark, who wrote Mark's gospel, and that Paul didn't like very much later, this woman is Mark's mother, and she's Barnabas's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people in her house for days and days and days praying for Peter. And it says there were many there. And by this time, it's pretty late at night. You know, it's not like a 7 p.m. home group. I mean, they're there. By this time, it's like the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they're still there praying. And I'm kind of interested to see what you think about this woman, Rhoda. I mean, this seems like so weird. You know, Peter's knocking on the door. He goes to the door. He could probably hear them inside praying. And what's funny is they're praying for him to be delivered.
Yeah.
And he's standing at the door knocking.
Is everybody in there? Hello?
And this girl comes to the young lady. I don't know if it's a girl or young lady or not. It doesn't really say. But you know, this lady comes to the door, recognizes his voice.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows that it's Peter.
And she's overjoyed by this.
Overjoyed by it. And she knows his voice. So the fact that she knows his voice means that she's had contact with Peter. She's talked with him or she's heard him preach. You know, maybe she heard him teaching at the temple. Maybe he's been to their home church before. But anyway, she knows that it's him. And they obviously have some kind of connection. And she gets so excited, she doesn't open the door.
You know, what's interesting is, you know, there's times where we've talked on the show about how when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, and there is not really an account of what he talked with them about.
Right.
Okay. But here they put this little tidbit of information in here, and it says, instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. Now, that adds some real, that's, they're, I mean, it's really the, witnessing the humanness of this person, that she's overjoyed, and instead of opening the gate, she just runs to tell everybody else that, else that Peter's there and that he's okay. But it's like, okay, that's there, and then, in other places, we don't have an account of, like, really what took place, and it's really some good information that we could get. But anyway, that's just my own side note. You know, it reminds me of the story that you told when the one person you know who was in the supermarket and the Holy Spirit
spoke to them. Rabbi Walter Lieber.
That Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And then he runs back home and tells his wife that he left his car at the supermarket.
Yes. Yeah, he was so excited he forgot the car. She was so excited she forgot to let Peter in. In the meantime, Peter's out there going, hello? Is somebody going to let me in?
Yeah. It was like the woman at the well. She got so excited she left her bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
she goes and tells them Peter's at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically say, you're crazy. Peter's in prison.
Yeah.
So even though they've been praying really hard, they don't really believe that Peter's out.
Yeah. Good point.
They don't really believe that something's going to happen. You know, it's like any kind of intense prayer, you know, whether it's healing prayer or whether it's prayer for some cause, you know, you do it. But most of you says, man, that's not going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And then when it does happen, you're really, really, really surprised.
Yeah. And while this is all going on, Peter's still knocking at the door.
He's knocking at the door.
They're having this conversation with the maid. She's telling everybody that he's there. He's still knocking at the door, and they're telling her, no, it's just his angel.
Yeah, that's right. It's his angel.
You have to wonder, are they hearing the knock on the door?
Yeah. That's an interesting question, too. Is his angel? Did they think he was dead?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like his spirit knocking on the door. But anyway, was it some messenger coming to tell them that Peter was dead, that Herod had executed him? But they think that this girl's out of her mind for thinking Peter's at the door, but for days they've been praying for him to be released from the prison.
Yeah.
So he is released. They don't believe it.
Yeah.
They don't believe that this would actually happen. So in the meantime, Peter keeps knocking.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally let him in. I mean, if Peter was coming to my home group, I'd be pretty excited if he was at the door. I wouldn't leave him out there knocking.
And they're making such a ruckus that Peter has to motion to them with his hands to, like, keep it down. Keep it down.
It's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's probably like 3 a.m. by this time. And when they see him, it says they were astounded. They couldn't believe it was really him.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells them the story of how he was delivered in a fair amount of detail. Because after all, you know, we have to give a testimony of a supernatural event that occurs in our life, whether it's a healing or whether it's something to do with your ministry or something to do with the part you're playing in God's plan for your life. You have to give a testimony.
Yeah.
Like you do about Cancun and, you know, I do about my grandson's healing. And you have to give testimony about when God intervenes.
Yeah.
Because he gets the glory for that. Yeah. You know, Peter can't go there and say, hey, guys, you know what? I was in this horrible prison and I was all chained up, but, you know, I managed to get a hacksaw in there.
Yeah.
I cut through the things and then I hit these guys in the head, all 16 of them, and they were out cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got outside and there was another guy and I, you know, hit him with his sword. Then I went and jumped over the gate and here I am.
Yeah. It's, you know, Jesus came to set people free.
Yes.
He says that. He says that himself. And the way that, you know, the way that God does things is obviously much different than the way that we do things.
Mm.
Which is an example of this story, you know. But I think sometimes we can forget about the power that God has to deliver people from a situation that seems to be hopeless,
mm.
or there seems to be no other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I'm thinking about when my wife and I used to pray, Lord, show us the way where we don't see a way,
mm.
you know, or make a way where we don't see the way here.
Mm.
Because God will always make a way for you in a situation if you're really seeking his counsel in his heart.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about 2-3 weeks ago, that's what we really should all be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We always generally make our own plans and how we're going to have something come about.
There's a lot of nonsense in the world. Not that there hasn't been nonsense in the world in other ages,
yes,
but
of course,
you know, you have the whole social media thing where everything travels so fast that we're interconnected within seconds of someone halfway across the world.
And you want everybody to like it.
That's another issue. And if I don't get a like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it my day's ruined. But, our world moves at such a fast pace that when we pray, do we expect anything to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's not on the internet. He's not on internet time or, you know, social media time. He's on his time.
Yes.
And if I send a tweet or if I send something out and I don't get a response back within a few seconds or a few minutes, oh, doesn't anybody like it?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Nobody likes me anymore.
Gosh, I don't have anything interesting to say. I can't contribute anything. You know, no, it's not that way. You do have a contribution. And God has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in our fast-paced culture, we are conditioned to think that if we don't get things or we don't see things happening instantaneously, that, well, all hope is lost.
Mm.
And it's really destructive to the human person what has transpired.
Yes.
And the sound voice of reason needs to really be said that God's plan, God is still on God's time.
Yes.
God is still sovereign over his creation.
Yes.
And his plan for your life will come into fruition in the time that he has determined it by his accord.
Yes.
You know, we just have to wait upon him.
Yes.
And not walk ahead of him. And that's always the hard part in our culture.
Yeah. And I think I think it might be in 1 Peter. You know, he says God's not late like we define that to be or
exactly
something to that effect.
Yeah.
He doesn't tarry as we define that to be because we want his answer right away.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for the next step in this part of your life or this ministry or that church or whatever it is, and if you don't get an answer in about 98 seconds, say, well, nobody likes me anymore now.
And that God's patience is directed towards our salvation.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right.
Because a lot of times we think, I want, you know, now, Lord, now.
Yeah.
And it might not, you know, God, if that happened, we might put our own selves in peril.
Yes. And we're supposed to be in fear and trembling, working out our salvation and waiting for him to tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And it may not be in 98 seconds.
Because Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't say anything. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing.
Yeah.
He didn't do things of his own will. He waited upon the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people had been praying for days for Peter to be released.
Yeah.
They didn't give up after a half hour. Say, oh, he's still in prison.
Right.
Okay, let's pray for something else. Peter's a goner.
And even though they were praying so fervently, when they see Peter there, at first they didn't believe, and then they're astounded, which is probably normal.
Yeah.
You know.
And they probably said, Rhoda, why didn't you open the door?
What are you leaving him outside for? Come on, get the poor guy in here.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
And so Peter, you know, when he comes in, I don't know, you know, sometimes you kind of, and people have said this, and I think I have felt this from time to time with certain issues, but sometimes you just sense the prayer that people are doing on your behalf.
Yeah.
And many times I'm sure that you don't. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Peter realized these people have been fervently praying for days now. And now he's here physically in their house. And so instead of saying, hey, you guys got any refreshments left? Or can you get me something to eat? Or, hey, I'm pretty thirsty. How about you have any water? And he tells his the whole testimony about how he was delivered out of the prison mm-hmm. by this angel.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, that he has to tell the other, he has to tell James that this is the other James. This is James the Minor. Not that he's, you know, an inferior James, but he's not the James who was killed, obviously, right. by Herod. This is the other James who's the son of Joseph, I think. But anyway, there's two apostles named James. So this is a, you know, that's a different prayer group. That's a different home group.
Yeah.
He says, now we got to go tell them what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because when miraculous things like this happen, the story has to be told.
Yeah.
Because these people need encouragement in their faith. This is a very critical time. It's not like there's, you know, 1.5 billion believers in the world at this point. And, oh, well, they killed one guy. Right. I mean, there's a few thousand believers.
Mm-hmm.
So every person is pretty important.
Yeah.
And most of the believers kind of knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
So now they want to make sure that the word spreads that Peter was miraculously delivered.
Yeah.
So he says, you got to go tell the other James.
Yeah. I mean, and giving testimony and witness to what God does builds up the faith experience of the community.
Yes.
And it builds their faith and their, you know, their trust.
Yes.
Really, their trust.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is a great story on many levels. And we know, obviously, eventually Peter is martyred, but not till the year 67 in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Both Peter and Paul die in the same year under the persecutions of Nero, which were pretty horrible. But that's like 30 years in the future from when this takes place.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter has 30 more years of ministry to do
yeah.
when this story happens. And he's going to see a lot of miraculous things in his time.
Yeah.
And he's going to spread the gospel to a lot of people. But I'll bet he told this story to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And obviously he told Luke because Luke wrote it down.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And so the word of this got around. Now we have to, since I think we have about 2 minutes left, maybe a minute left, we have to see what happens to this Herod because I think this is pretty cool. Verse 20, do you want to read 21?
Sure.
Through 23.
He had long been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, who now came to him in a body. After winning over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they sued for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's territory. On an appointed day, Herod, attired in royal robes, seated on the restorium, addressed them publicly. The assembled crowd cried out, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." At once the angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not ascribe an honor to God. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last.
I love this. This is pretty cool.
But the word of God continued to spread and grow.
Yeah. Read that last verse, too. This is pretty cool, too.
After Barnabas and Saul completed their relief mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who was called Mark.
Yeah. So Herod goes to this festival in all his royal robe, and people are saying, this sounds like a god, not like a man. And because he didn't correct him, he was struck dead and eaten by worms.
Wow.
I'd like to have seen that. Oof. Anyway, the show's over already.
It is.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would have trust and faith in your prayer and believe that God will answer you in his appointed time. through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.